Hello and welcome to the In Vivo podcast. I'm David Wild, In Vivo's biotech and pharma reporter. And today I'm speaking with Vibhor Gupta. Vibhor is the director and founder of Pangea Data, a London-based company that provides a software product platform combining AI and clinical guidelines to mimic a clinician's manual process to help them find more undiagnosed patients. Undiagnosed patients comprise 80% of the patient population. This is enabling Pangea's pharmaceutical sponsors to find more suitable patients for clinical trials and treatment with approved therapies without the need for them to contact each healthcare provider individually or to wait for healthcare providers to develop such capabilities at the cost of their own resources, especially when they have only a few years left on their patented therapy. Vibhor, thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure to be here, David. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we'd like to start off by asking participants to tell us about themselves. So if you can tell us about a little bit about your background and career trajectory and about the history of the company, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. So I trained in oncology and I've been working in medicine and computing for about 23 years now. I had the pleasure of coding myself when I was in my second year internship, which allowed me to get firsthand experience of working with computational methods, which like neural networks, which we today club under artificial intelligence, and with data sets spanning across clinical data and multi-omic data sets like genomic, transcriptomic, and epigenomic data sets. That's me. So bringing together a combination of medicine and computational expertise. In terms of the company, we founded this in January of 2018, along with Professor Ike Guo, my co-founder, who's the founder and the director of the Data Science Institute at Imperial College, and is currently president of Hong Kong Science and Technology University. Together, between Ike and I, we have raised more than $300 million in academic research funding, which most recently includes a $110 million grant, which specifically focuses on developing large language models, which is very popular under the AI banner these days, or has been over the last year or so, with a focus on various fields. But of course, my interest over there is in medicine.
So let's move on to the company's platform. Can you tell us a little bit about it and what makes it unique?
Absolutely. So the company is headquartered in London. We have offices in South San Francisco and a team out in Hong Kong to deliver for our Asia Pacific customers. We provide a software product platform to clinicians across pharmaceutical companies and also healthcare providers to help them find undiagnosed patients, which comprise more than 80% of the patient population across 7,000 hard-to-diagnose conditions. Case in example is cancer cachexia, which is terribly underdiagnosed in 80% of the patients, cancer patients. It's very prevalent and leads to about 50% casualties. So it's a real problem clinically and also mentally and physically. It's very important to find these patients. Cachexia relates to muscle loss, and by applying Pangea's product platform, which combines clinical guidelines that clinicians would use in the clinic to find such patients and bring them into screening with artificial intelligence methods so that we could scale the application of these guidelines to process thousands and millions of patient records without having to go through them manually, which would take about 40 minutes each, is the secret sauce of the Pangea's product. And by doing so, we were able to demonstrate that we found six times more patients who were cachectic, who were otherwise hidden in plain sight and could not have been found if we were just looking for them using natural language processing approaches, which of course rely on just a list of symptoms, which can be common across multiple conditions, or if you were relying on data aggregation approaches, which again just rely on the diagnosed patient population and the correct coding or the correct metadata of those populations, which we know is not true, given that more than 50% of the metadata is incorrect. So this was a huge result. What this meant was that by being able to find six times more undiagnosed, misdiagnosed, and miscoded cancer cachexia patients, that translates to about 200,000 patients annually. And the oncologists were able to demonstrate through a health economic study that they were able to halve the cost of treatment from 10,000 to £5,000 in each patient, which meant about £1 billion in savings annually just for one disease for the NHS in the UK. This, of course, also meant that the sponsors of the study, who were two pharmaceutical companies, one from the US and one from Japan, were able to find six times more patients who could benefit from the therapies that they were bringing to the market, and also the clinical trials which they had started, and therefore a higher chance of success for them. More importantly, we have shown the use of the product platform in not just cancer cachexia, in across oncology, respiratory, immunology, mental health, cardiovascular diseases, and about 7,000 hard-to-diagnose conditions. So you can imagine the scale of benefit this creates for both pharmaceutical companies and healthcare providers, and not just in the context of finding more patients and treating them with existing therapies, but also finding more patients for clinical trials, or finding a new cohort of patients and characterizing them in the context of drug discovery studies, which is very, very important when you're discovering new biomarkers and drug targets. I will just leave you with one final example. We've just published this in the form, it's under review, I beg your pardon, but our part is done with our pharmaceutical sponsor, a white paper on our work of applying this product platform in the context of COPD and CKD, which is chronic kidney disease. And here we have shown how we found 5 to 6 times more undiagnosed, misdiagnosed, and miscoded patients across these two conditions who otherwise would have been completely missed, and how that is could have an impact on a $200 billion healthcare burden reduction in the US alone, given that the costs of treating such patients, if missed and later on, could be 3 times more. Our work only takes about 8 to 10 weeks, which is a big bonus compared to 9 to 12 months that it would typically take through alternative means that I mentioned earlier.
Can you share a little bit about the type of information that you look for in medical records that would indicate that a patient has a condition that they're not diagnosed with?
Yes. So just to clarify, we do not do any diagnosis or clinical assessment. We think the clinicians know that best. And this is why our product has rapidly scaled and it's not classified software as a medical device. In some instances, our customers are stretching the use of our product to do clinical decision making or providing clinical decision support, such as in very rare and ultra rare conditions. But predominantly, our product is being used by our pharmaceutical and healthcare sponsors to find more patients who can be brought in for screening and that clinical assessment. So the clinicians can then decide what their diagnosis is based on their assessment, and then decide what's the best course of action for them, whether it is to just monitor them or prescribe them a therapy or bring them onto a clinical trial. Now, to answer the first part of your question, which is what data we require, this is very much the same data that a clinician would need to review the patient records manually to determine if the patient is suitable for an assessment or screening. And therefore, this totally depends on the clinical objective and the clinical condition in question. So for example, in cancer cachexia, the input data that was processed through our product included primary care data, married with some secondary care data that the clinicians had over the period of 6 months. In lupus nephritis, we looked at secondary care data. In the context of COPD, we are looking at primary care data. And in the context of CKD, chronic kidney disease, we are looking at secondary care data.
Clinicians, I'm assuming, are aware that they're participating in this kind of sharing approach with pharmaceutical companies. How do they feel about that? Do they have any reservations? How do you ensure privacy?
That's a great question. And one of the biggest aspects of our product is to ensure that no data is moved or touched by us or our pharmaceutical sponsors, because data is sacrosanct. It lives and breathes behind the firewalls of these healthcare providers and in their environment, which is why having a product platform is very advantageous, because then what that means is that the product is deployed behind the firewall of these healthcare providers, and the healthcare providers are in control of the readout. So they have all the metrics with regards to how many more undiagnosed, misdiagnosed, and miscoded patients there are, how many should be brought in into clinical care or for a screening, how many have passed screening, how many have had a change of therapy, how many have been reviewed, and so on and so forth. And then only the metrics that they are comfortable sharing are shared with the pharmaceutical sponsors, because the pharmaceutical sponsors, candidly, are not interested in the data itself. They're just interested in those metrics. And until now, they were only able to get hold of those metrics by running epidemiological studies on open source available data or claims data, which, again, as we discussed at the top of this interview, only addresses 20% of the patient population, which has already been diagnosed. What we are focusing on is the 4 to 5 times larger patient population, which is undiagnosed and hidden. And unearthing them, of course, gives a lot of benefit for the patients, most importantly, but also the treating physicians and the pharmaceutical sponsors.
I know you recently partnered with Microsoft, and you'll be presenting at HIMSS alongside the company. Can you tell us a little bit about that collaboration?
Yes. So HIMSS has kindly invited me and an oncosurgeon from the National Health Service in the UK to present a clinical lecture on the basis of our work around cancer cachexia, which I alluded to earlier. Microsoft has been a great partner for us. So as you can appreciate, as a software business, a software product business, I might say, we need to work with large infrastructure providers like Microsoft, AWS, Google, Palantir, to name a few, IBM, Deloitte, Accenture. But of course, Microsoft has really embraced us in the fact that they are not only providing us technology platforms like Microsoft Azure Cloud to build our product, but they are going several steps further and actually connecting us and deploying us at enterprises in pharmaceutical and the healthcare domain who are already managing their clinical data on the Azure Cloud platform, which from a business perspective has been phenomenal for our pharmaceutical sponsors and also for us, because distribution is key in this business. And the partnership with Microsoft has allowed us to distribute across thousands of healthcare providers globally, which means that now our pharmaceutical sponsors, at the click of a button, can get a readout of how many more undiagnosed, misdiagnosed, misquoted patients there can be across thousands of healthcare providers without them having to approach them individually one by one, and without them having to move or transact any data, which is beneficial from a privacy compliance perspective for both pharma and for healthcare.
I know Microsoft is a leader in AI, and I'm sure you're looking at upcoming developments in the field. What kind of developments are you looking at, anticipating over the next few years that might even evolve your approach further?
Yes. So my co-founder, Professor Guo, was recently awarded a $110 million grant by the Hong Kong government to develop a completely new generative AI-based center for research, focusing on various different fields. But of course, as you can appreciate, as Pangea, we're focusing on medicine. So the idea would be to develop large language models in the context of medicine. This grant money has largely gone into procuring about 1,500 GPUs from NVIDIA, which is an absolutely amazing scale of infrastructure available to us to do the kind of work that we want to do. And not just to help us fast track the current capability of finding more undiagnosed patients across 7,000 hard to diagnose conditions, but also to be able to expand this capability so that, for example, we can make it easier for clinicians to record information about patients and equally allow patients to engage more with the information that is available in their records. I'm sure you've heard this time and again, that patients get a lot of their medical reports, but don't know what it means, and therefore have to always consult a colleague who might understand medicine, right? Or a family member. And this is where LLMs and AI can be really helpful, helping activate, to use that word, patients and engage patients more and get them to take control of their health and be informed about the decision-making that is being made on the back of their records by clinicians. And this is very powerful.
I recently spoke with an expert in the field of AI who mentioned he believed that one of the biggest barriers for biopharma to incorporate and maximize the benefit of AI in the industry is a cultural barrier, a kind of perception that AI is maybe secondary to human decision-making. And I wonder if you have any insights on that, given your expertise in the field.
So from our perspective, of course, we come from a deep domain experience in medicine and in artificial intelligence. So we are very proud to be a team of doctors, engineers, and scientists between London and South San Francisco. And the reason I reference that is precisely because of the question you've asked, that if we were to make an impact and create the kind of value that we have demonstrated through our success stories, which I narrated earlier, it is only possible by combining that deep domain expertise between medicine and AI. So case in example, we just published a paper, which is the preprint version is available, where we showed how using ChatGPT and GPT-4, we were able to answer some of the clinical questions that we need to answer in the context of some disease areas that we had handpicked, you know, just to illustrate. So we had picked COPD, we had picked up CKD, we had picked up primary biliary cholangitis and HSV, herpes simplex virus. And what we showed, looking at those four diseases, so COPD is very prevalent, CKD is very prevalent, PBC and HSV are very rare conditions. So just to have a combination, we showed that ChatGPT and GPT-4 on their own could not help us answer several clinical questions along the clinical care pathway that we would care for to the level of accuracy that would make us comfortable, right? Or that would make it scalable in the clinic. However, when we combine these large language models with clinical information and clinical guidelines, then the accuracy was much better. And even then, we could not get very good results for rare conditions like HSV, because the principle of AI is it's based on existing knowledge. Now, what humans are good at is not just processing existing knowledge, but we're coming up with new intelligence. And that therein lies the fundamental difference between artificial intelligence and human intelligence from our perspective, which is why within Pangea, we've made a conscious effort of making sure that we're using existing clinical guidelines along with existing information in patient records to find these undiagnosed patients so the clinicians are able to explain the results. It's not a black box. It's not some magic that is happening. And then they're able to decide what needs to happen next.
Vibor, I think we've covered a lot of ground. Was there anything that I missed that you wanted to share with the biopharma audience?
Just one thing. AI in medicine is ubiquitous. I'm sure you all will have, as pharmaceutical companies, a lot more than $300 million that we have to do anything that we are doing. And you certainly would have the AI and the medical expertise. But the key here is distribution. How do you distribute and get these capabilities in the hands of physicians, treating physicians and patients out in the field, and scale it without the need to transact data so that you can benefit those very patients with your therapies and trials and everything that you are doing on the drug discovery side? And that's where a partnership with the likes of Pangea and what we are doing with Microsoft and other technology partners comes to the fore and is our unique value proposition. So have a think about that. We very much want to complement everything you are doing internally and help you accelerate that. And hopefully our success stories that you've shared here are a testament to the same.
Well, Vibor, thanks so much for joining me today. It was a fascinating conversation.
Thank you, David. Pleasure to be here.
And thanks for listening to the In Vivo podcast. For more pharma and biotech news and insights, visit invivo.com.